It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on League Cup semi-final weekend. Celtic v Aberdeen is the headline matchup later today. Then it's over to troubled Rangers against Motherwell tomorrow. But before all that, some big league games as St Mirren take on Ross County and St Johnstone welcome Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me as always you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
As if the week hadn't had enough drama already. Now we're going for peak pandemonium. Somebody's unbeaten run is going at Hampden this evening. Will it be Aberdeen or Celtic? Brendan Rodgers says he hasn't watched Rangers 2-1 loss to Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. A lot of Rangers fans wish they could say the same thing. It'll be a semi to sabre in the south side of Glasgow, and the Premiership games aren't too shabby either, because Hearts' Neil Critchley lost his first game midweek to Kilmarnock at Tynecastle. He won't want to lose two in a row when he goes to Perth, because stocks can rise and stocks can fall. They better be careful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to today's action. Starting with the Premiership, a chance for St Mirren or Ross County to jump into the top six, and the same chance for St Johnstone as well at home with Hearts. And St Johnstone, is a bit of intrigue about St Johnstone, how they're playing just now under Valicari. It's good to watch. So can he keep that going? Hugh's right. Can Hearts get their season finally up and running? It's a tough one for Neil Critchley today. Looking down the divisions as well, good games, but the semi-final takes centre stage at 5:30. Aberdeen v Celtic, that one's going to be a cracker.
Looking forward to it, as is the lads. I think there's plenty of goals, plenty of action, plenty to talk about, and a great weekend in store.
We've been spoiled rotten, Hugh. We're talking about drama, talking points, big games, excitement. We're just going to keep going. We've got the League Cup, we've got Premiership, Europe's back around the corner. We're just coming off the back of a dramatic midweek. It's a really really enjoyable time for the neutral. I don't know if every individual fan base will agree, but for us, brilliant stuff.
I like what Brendan Rodgers had to say yesterday on that subject. He said whether it's business or football, nothing gets you going like proper competition. And in Jimmy Tielan, we have someone who has come into Scottish football. Talk about hit the ground running. He's hit the ground like an Olympic sprinter. And Aberdeen fans will come to Glasgow this evening almost expecting to beat Celtic. And you have to ask yourself, if Celtic were to lose tonight, could it be considered a shock, given that Jimmy Tielan has done exactly what Celtic have done, top of the league, drawn one game, and that was against Celtic. So is it a shock?
Well, it's certainly closer than it's been for a long, long time. You'll have to go back to the semi-final last year when Jimmy Thielen wasn't around. Was it Peter Leaven taking the time? And it showed when Aberdeen played to their peak with the players that they had at that time, they can challenge a very good Celtic side. Now, Celtic have come on from them, no doubt, but Aberdeen have come on leaps and bounds with a manager that holds no fear when he comes up against Celtic or Rangers. So really dangerous fixture, this one, for Brendan Rodgers. We all know the importance of this first cup. Brendan Rodgers has stated many times how he values this tournament. But what an opportunity for the Aberdeen manager to really grab a hold of something special for the Aberdeen fans this evening when it kicks off.
And for the Rangers fans, Gordon, they're probably at the stage where the best thing about today's fixtures is that Rangers can't ruin their Saturday, and it has to wait potentially, albeit I'm sure they'll still be favourites against Motherwell. But it's been quite a week. Pittodrie, financial results, comments from manager and captain that they don't agree with.
They've got a massive game coming up tomorrow. They have got to win that against Motherwell. If I was Motherwell, I'd look at this fixture. Yes, I still believe Rangers are firm favourites to go through to the final. But the way Rangers are, the criticism, everything about Wednesday night, the players are coming in for it, the manager's coming in for it, the fans aren't happy. I would be having a real go at Rangers tomorrow and put them under a little bit of pressure. So it's massive for the Rangers manager. He's come out and defended himself yesterday. Doesn't fear for his job. Well, if he'd lose tomorrow, let me tell you, I don't think he'd be in office on Monday.
Love this stage of the cup though, Mark, because for the big sides, it's almost expected that you then, you know, go through and make the final. And then for the smaller sides, well, you're definitely allowed to dream, because you're at Hampden already, and you know that a couple of things go your way and could be a famous season.
Yeah, and when you're seeing it like that, you expect the big teams to go on and progress to the final. But looking at the two semi-finals, it's our top four, and you're looking at the points difference between them at the minute. Motherwell there sitting on 16 points, Rangers on 19. So if you're going in league form, not a lot between those sides. You cannot split Aberdeen and Celtic. So it makes for two very interesting ties across the weekend that anything can happen. So that's why we're really looking forward to it. I hope Aberdeen have a go at Celtic. I really do. I hope they don't revert back to what it was last season at some stages and sit in. I don't think they will. And I hope Motherwell have a go at Rangers, because that's what sets it up for a hugely entertaining weekend.
That is the scene set ahead of a big weekend. You can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB, and of course we will open the phone lines a bit later, and we'll be back tomorrow for more. We've got 3 o'clock games to take care of, some big ones at that. What about Paisley, St Mirren against Ross County? Here's Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, it's bread and butter for us. It's the league table, it's league games here, and the table's beginning to take shape. Doesn't look like anyone's going to drop off at the bottom of the table, as Livingston did last year quite early on, and with Hearts and Hibs sitting in the bottom two places, you'd expect them to climb up the table as the season goes on. So it's very tight at the bottom half of the table, and it might be like that for the remainder of the season. So St Mirren's win in midweek was much needed, 4 defeats in a row, but they came from behind to beat St Johnston and scored 3 good goals at the same time, and they sit in the 11 points, same as Ross County, and the only goal difference that separates the two teams here today. But St Mirren will be looking up the table more than looking down the way, and I think today gives them a great opportunity to get into the top six with Kilmarnock not playing this weekend. Stephen Robson was very down after a recent heavy defeat a couple of weeks ago against Hearts. They lost 4-0 at Tynecastle. In his post-match comments, he wasn't happy at all, but he's got the response he was looking for. A good performance at Ibrox, where they could easily have sneaked a point, followed by coming from behind, as I said, against St Johnstone on Wednesday. 3 good goals in the second half, and I think that'll give them a bit of confidence. But this will be a tricky game. Ross County, many people's favourites to go down every season, but Don Cowie's built a pretty resilient squad. They seem to get results when they least expect it, and just when they need it. And I saw them come from behind to beat Kilmarnock last Saturday. They weren't great for 60 minutes, but they took advantage of the 10 men and got the 3 points. They followed that up with a point against Hibs in midweek, and like St Mirren went today, would see them amazingly in the top six with 12 games going. I think this will be a close one though. It's difficult to call, but hopefully a few goals. A bit of a crazy start. I was chatting to one of the local Inverness journalists from the Press and Journal. He was telling me that Ross County haven't won away from home since September 2023. So although it'll be tight, I don't see that change today. I think St Mirren will get the points. Just one change in the St Mirren team. It's enforced. Charles Dunn went off injured in midweek, and Richard Taylor comes in. It's a like for like. So the usual 3-4-3 formation. Elliot Balcombe in goals. Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic, and Richard Taylor at the back. Elvis Buomono, Killian Phillips, Mark O'Hara, and Scott Tanzer in the midfield, with James Scott, Toyosi Olasanya, and Greg Kilty up front. The subs are Peter Arminski, Roland Adowu, Jonah Ayunga, Mikael Mandron, Ushin Smith, Caelan Boyd-Munce, Callum Penman, Dennis Adeniran, and Connor McMenamin. And for Ross County, they made 3 changes from the team that played in midweek. Leeks injured, and Denham, and surprisingly Ronan Hale dropped to the bench, and come Reid, Nisbet and Greaves. So they go with a 3-4-1-2 formation. Ross Laidlaw in goals, Akil Wright, Casper Lopata, and Josh Reid at the back. James Brown, Connor Randall, Josh Nisbet, and Eli Campbell in midfield, with Noah Chilvers behind the two strikers, Jordan White and Jack Greaves. Their substitutes, Jack Hamilton, Scott Allardyce, Ronan Hale, Alex Samuel, Eamon Brophy, Ricky Lamy, Miche Ifeti, Aidan Denham, and Victor Latoury. And the referee today in Paisley is Don Robertson, and the VAR is John Beaton.
Quite unique, to say the least, circumstances at St Mirren, Fraser. We know, obviously, going back a few weeks now, Sean Rooney's left the club. There's a criminal matter there that we won't kind of speculate and worry about the details of. And again, similarly, not to get into the details, but Kevin Van Veen and Jaden Brown as well, you know, the club announcing yesterday 2 tweets back to back about their court appearances and how, you know, they won't be available. Just in a footballing sense, how disruptive can that be, and how stressful must it be for Stephen Robinson due to the unprecedented nature of it? I'm pretty sure they don't teach you this stuff on your coaching badges.
I was going to make exactly that point. I don't think they do teach you that when you're doing your coaching badges, and these things just fall into your lap. I'm looking down the stairs at Keith Lasley, who's chatting somebody at the side of the pitch, and his hair has got even greyer, I think, in the last few weeks, given that the off-field stuff as well. And these are things that, because you're a football club, it's very high profile in the media and the newspapers, and it's difficult to deal with. But for Stephen Robinson, he's just got to get on with his game. Certainly Brown has played a number of games this season, but he's been on the bench. Van Veen hasn't really participated much as well. So on the field of play, I don't think it affects St Mirren at all. but off the field, of course, having to deal with all these matters is as difficult as a football club. And Stephen Robinson certainly learning a lot. He's an experienced manager. I don't think he'll dealt with what he's had to deal with in the last two or three months.
Yeah, looking forward to that one in Paisley. St Johnstone against Hearts is an interesting fixture in Perth as well. Roger Hannah's there.
Yeah, it certainly is, Gordon. And there's a man you'll be facing in the studio who will tell you honeymoons don't last forever. And I think that's what both Neil Critchley and Simo Vallecari discovered in midweek. Critchley saw Hearts return to the foot of the Premiership table after a 2-1 home defeat to Kilmarnock. They've won just one game domestically since May the 11th, almost 6 months ago. Last season's player of the year, Lauren Shankland, has only got one goal all season for club and country. And after today's game at Perth, it doesn't get any easier for Critchley. Heidenheim on Thursday night in the Conference League, then Rangers, Celtic, Cercle Bruges and Aberdeen. So they're in dire need of a result this afternoon. So too, you could say, Simo Vallecari. He too suffered his first defeat as St Johnstone manager in midweek. The 3-1 loss at St Mirren. They saw him tumble out of the top six down to ninth place after wins against Ross County. Dundee had provided such a promising start for the Finn. Two changes for Vallecari today. Graham Carey replaces Matt Smith in midfield. And with Lewis Nielsen unable to play against parent club Hearts and Andre Raymond still out, there's a Saints full debut for Barry Douglas. His first start in the Scottish Premiership for 11 and a half years. A 4-0 defeat for Dundee United against Celtic at Tannadice in May 2013. Since then, Barry's been at Lech Poznan in Poland twice, Konyaspor in Turkey, he's been at Wolves, Leeds United, Blackburn Rovers, but he's now at age of 35 back into a St Johnstone back four. They go with Ross Sinclair in goal. The back four is Dre Wright, Jack Sanders, Kyle Cameron and Barry Douglas. It's Jason Holt, Spence Sprangler and the recalled Graham Carey in midfield, with the new club captain Nicky Clark in behind Adamas Sidibe and Benji Kimpioka. On the bench it's Ray Essel, Kusharai, Smith, McPake, Kirk, Kelchins, Bright and Franchak. And if Neil Critchley was looking for a little positive omen, and my goodness, Hearts need some just now, Gordon, they've won the last six meetings against St Johnstone, and the Saints haven't even scored in the last four. There's three changes from Critchley today. Out go Forrester, Devlin and Vargas. In come Daniel Oyegoke at right back, Benny Beningame in the middle of the park, and Jan Danda will be asked to support Shanklin up top. So it's Craig Gordon in goal, the back four, Daniel Oyegoke, Frankie Kent, Kai Rose and James Penrice. Benny Beningame and Malachi Boateng will anchor the midfield, with Alan Forrest, Jan Danda and Blair Spittle behind the skipper, Lawrence Shanklin. On the bench, Forrest, Devlin and Vargas, Kingsley, Halkett and Wilson, Grant, Mackay and Clark. The referee is Chris Graham, and the VAR at Perth is Alan Muir.
Where is Neil Critchley at, do we think? You know, Roger, it was obviously a pretty good start, probably a very good start compared to what people expected. But then that result the other night, the drop-off, how crucial is this sort of period coming up for him?
I think it'll be a real learning curve for Neil Critchley. St Mirren, listen, you can only beat what's put in front of you, but Stephen Robinson said St Mirren were awful when they lost at Tynecastle to them. Ammonia and Nicosia didn't pull up many trees when they came to Gorgie either. So I wonder if that's just given Neil Critchley a sort of false impression of what he's walked into. I thought the Edinburgh Derby was low on quality. They almost lost it. They needed that late, late goal by young James Wilson to get a point. And having taken the lead against Kilmarnock, they were just bullied out of the game on Wednesday night. Kilmarnock looked a far more streetwise, well-organised, confident team than Hearts did. They've got big problems. They're back at the bottom of the league. And when you look ahead to this run of fixtures they've got after this afternoon, I think it's imperative to get something here, Gordon.
Another big one indeed, Hugh Keevans. It's Hugh Keevans, just to let everyone know how this works on radio, because you can't see us today. Just put his hand up like I'm his teacher, which is quite a thought. You may speak.
I want to address Roger Hanna. Roger, Heart of Midlothian Football Club at kickoff today are 22 points behind Celtic and Aberdeen as they reach basically one third of the season gone by. 22 points, and of course Hibs are 21 points. The capital city of the country, Roger, is a shambles.
Oh, it's absolutely creaking. I mean, the performance, you've known for a while that Hibs were in trouble. David Gray really has a tough job ahead of him at Hibernian, and I think they will be in among that bottom three, scrapping for their lives for the rest of the season. Hugh, Hearts, you expected more of them. You know, they had such a good season last year in the league under Stephen Naismith. Even day one of the season, that draw at Tynecastle against Rangers, you expected they were going to kick on from there. And it has been an unmitigated catastrophe since then for Hearts. From start to finish, the run of defeats that cost Stephen Naismith his job. Neil Critchley came in after Liam Fox had presided over that European win in Azerbaijan. And after those couple of results, they haven't kicked on. The performance against Hibs, nowhere near good enough. The performance against Kilmarnock, nowhere near good enough. And you look at his side, on paper, they should be top six comfortably. They are underachieving to a staggering extent. And Neil Critchley would be right to expect more of these players.
You could take your pick really for game of the day in the Championship, because there are some really attractive fixtures. We've gone for the leaders though, and a team not too far from here as well. Falkirk Morton, David Friel is there.
Yeah, Gordon, expecting another huge crowd here today at the Falkirk Stadium. I think it's fair to say the Falkirk fans are starting to dream. They're starting to think about promotion, and they will look to cement their place at the top of the Championship today. John McGlynn's side, 4 points clear of second place Livingston, and they also have the chance to move 8 ahead of Ayr United in third place today, so it's a huge match for John McGlynn's side. They haven't actually lost a home league fixture for over 18 months. I think, to be honest with you, it's hard to see anything other than a Falkirk win today. John McGlynn was speaking pretty honestly this week. He did say that he wondered if people were maybe thinking that their bubble had burst when Raith beat them unexpectedly at the end of September, but they have really bounced back since. They're unbeaten in 5 games. They've won 3, drawn 2. And John McGlynn said he looks stronger than ever, as they really do set the pace at the top of the Championship. It's not been easy for him. He's had to contend with injuries to key players. Cole Donaldson's still out. He's his main centre-half. He's lost him since the Celtic game. Ross McKeever, Callum Morrison, both huge players last year. They've been out with injury as well, but they are both in the squad today. Falkirk beat Morton 3-2 at Capello in August. That was a great game. I think we would all take another thriller like that today. But Dougie Imrie's squad is ravaged by injury. The midweek defeat to Queen's Park left them in 8th place, 5 points off the bottom, and he doesn't have his trouble to seek. He's only been able to name 5 subs today, and he can't actually name a keeper on the bench. So I think Dougie Imrie will be praying that nothing happens to Lewis Boudinoukis, because nobody at Morton knows who is going to go in if something does happen to him. Falkirk are unchanged after last week's 2-1 win over Dunfermline. That was another huge one for them. At Morton have made just one change. Ian Wilson suspended. He got sent off against Queen's Park in midweek with Grant Gillespie in as a straight swap. So I'll just run through the teams for you. Falkirk looks like a 4-2-3-1 formation. Nicky Hogarth in goals, back 4 of Keelan Adams, Luke Graham, Liam Henderson, Leon McCann, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate will be the holding midfielders, with Calvin Miller, Aidan Nesbitt just signed a new contract this week, and Ethan Ross in behind Gary Oliver. Subs for Falkirk are Hayward Yates, Morrison McKeever, Aguiman, McKenna, McCafferty and McCrone. As for Morton, again, it looks like a 4-2-3-1 formation. Lewis Boudinoukis in goals, Cammy Blues, Jack Beard, Kurt Broadfoot and Zach Delaney at the back, Grant Gillespie, Aaron Lyle, Owen Moffat, Niall McGinn, Michael Garrity and Philip Stuparevich on loan from Motherwell up front. 5 subs for Morton are Boys, Davis, Reynolds, Samuels and O'Boy. And the referee at the Falkirk Stadium is David Dickinson.
At this stage on a Saturday, once we've given you team news, we reflect on the biggest talking points of the week. From now until then, you can sit and try and guess what that might be. We'll discuss it next.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We have given you team news ahead of the 3 o'clock games, of course. The later game, Celtic and Aberdeen, still to come. At this stage on a Saturday, we generally reflect on the week's biggest talking points. And it is by some distance the biggest this week. Roger Hanna, Rangers woes, and in particular those of Philippe Clement. Where is he now currently?
Well, Gordon, Philippe Clement is in the back page of this morning's newspaper saying he does not fear the sack. When managers offer opinions like that, it simply confirms that the possibility of him getting the sack is very real and very now. If Rangers lose tomorrow to Motherwell in the Premier Sports Cup semi-final at Hampden, I'll do the phone in with you on Monday night and Motherwell's Andy Halliday, and believe me, I'll bring a flask and sandwiches, because we will be there all night. A defeat will finish Philippe Clement. Rangers will need to quote the former chairman John Bennett, rinse and repeat again, because the performance and the result at Pittodrie on Wednesday night simply wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, David Friel, were you surprised to hear Philippe Clement say that he hasn't spoken to anyone, you know, in the Rangers board, as to even just how they feel about the fact that they're 9 points behind Aberdeen and Celtic? Does that mean this all isn't as imminent as people think it is, or is there a different explanation?
No, I mean, I don't know about the explanation. I was surprised, because I think when you have a seismic defeat like that, and it was seismic in terms of the fallout after it, then I think it would be natural that Philippe Clement maybe does speak to a director or two. But Just echo what Roger was saying, Gordon. I just think it's game by game for Philip Clement now. He's one bad domestic defeat for me away from the sack, and I would be amazed if he manages to turn things around. And I've probably changed my opinion on this over the last couple of weeks. I think even after the Killie defeat, I was certainly of a mind that Rangers can't keep sacking managers, as Roger's saying, rinse and repeat. But for me, the Aberdeen performance was alarming. And I think the majority of Rangers fans, they are realistic. I think they know this is a rebuild. They would take some short-term pain if they can see signs that the team is going in the right direction. But there's no style, there's no identity. His team selection was questionable. And then his post-match comments for me just took a bad situation and made it worse. So I would be stunned. You know, he's maybe not spoken to the Rangers board in the last few days, but I'd be stunned if the Rangers board weren't looking at alternatives right now.
It does feel, Fraser Wishart, that not only can he not do the right thing in the eyes of the Rangers fans, he cannot say the right thing in the eyes of the Rangers fans.
Yeah, I felt a bit for him, I have to say, after the game, and I agree his comments were not, wasn't the game I saw, you know. And if that's the best Rangers have been this season, then I think they have got problems. But I did feel for him a wee bit, because he's not daft. He clearly knows that his job's under pressure. He knows the supporters are beginning to turn against him. He knows that if he gets another couple of defeats, then he could be out of a job. And 10-15 minutes later, he's asked to go out and speak to me. So I had a wee bit of sympathy for him, but I can understand why it was concerning from the Rangers supporters' angle. And that's his problem, is because when the board do turn against him, it'll be because the fans have turned against him. Fans are the ones that prompt the boards to take action. So I don't know if he'll survive a defeat tomorrow, but he certainly needs to get something done very quickly and get some results on the board, because he's under real pressure.
Sometimes, Hugh, you just get an instinct, and granted, the scenario has changed. You know, as football's gone on, people are less patient than they used to be, so accept that. But even in comparison to recent ones, if it is Michael Beale, if it is Giovanni van Bronckhorst or any other club, is your instinct kicking in where the point of no return has been reached, or can he pull it back from here?
I think for the Rangers fans, the point of no return was reached at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. I listen to the programme every night, and the tone of the language now is becoming more and more graphic. On Wednesday, we had one man saying he is a clown.
That was before the game.
Yeah. And after the game, another Rangers supporter talking about the dross that he is watching. I had to say to you on Wednesday night after the game that, yep, I was the one who said I thought that Philippe Clement was a serious man for serious times when he arrived in this country, having left his job in Monaco. I thought he was the first realistic challenger to Brendan Rodgers in his two stays at Celtic Park. And then the man who was good at offering clarity after games turned into another person. The moral victory against Celtic, no such thing exists. The lap of honour at Ibrox that day, what was he thinking of? The dancing routine behind the goal at Hampden earlier in the season when he had a very mundane 2-0 win over St Johnstone. The comments he made at Pittodrie, he has ceased to be the serious man for serious times. And if we arrive at a situation tomorrow where Motherwell have knocked Rangers out of the Premier Sports Cup, then no man anywhere inside Ibrox, no man at all, can possibly put up a case for the retention of the manager.
What if that doesn't happen though, Gordon? We'll maybe get to this later. Everyone's got Motherwell odds on favourites to win, because Rangers are in a bit of crisis, and you and I both know that just quite simply isn't the way it works. And they're, despite all this, remains a sizeable chance that Rangers win this game tomorrow. So everyone keeps saying, "Aye, he wouldn't survive a defeat tomorrow." Well, what if Rangers win tomorrow then? What happened? Where does he go from there?
He keeps going.
For how long?
I think he's one really major bad result away from leaving the club. You said there, can he turn it around? Any manager can turn it around, but I'm not confident in him doing it. You know, listen to him. And if he's thinking that, and I know some people say, well, he's protecting the players. You're not protecting the players. You're making a fool of yourself. And the players in the dressing room listen to the conversation, and the you know, the interviews must be wondering, why is the manager getting out and talking like that? He's putting us under severe pressure. Has he got the ability to turn it around? I look at his signings. Now, he touches on the other night there about, the young players and they need time, whatever. There were six players in that team, 26 up to 36. That's not young players, that's an experienced side. Yes, he's got one or two branded about. He's brought in summer signings. Now, he's spent something like 10 million quid, maybe a little bit more. Eight players he inherited were playing on Wednesday night. So I just look at his signings. I look at, I think everybody, they're a bore to watch. Let's not be kidding. You wouldn't pay two pence to go and watch Rangers just now. They're an absolute bore fest. Now, they don't know what they're doing at times. You're getting bad results against Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. I said on Tuesday night, and I couldn't, some people gave me a bit of stick about it. I says, Aberdeen are favourites. When was the last time that ever happened to a Rangers side? So I do believe they are favourites tomorrow. I think they'll go and they'll, I think they'll get through tomorrow. But I think he's a game to game to a game. He needs to go on a good run, Gordon, and he needs to turn it round and get his signings on the pitch and start playing to a system that people understand what he's doing.
The big picture's not really moved on since we saw you Thursday, Mark, but in ways it has, because we heard from Philippe Clement again yesterday. I don't think anything he said really changed much or pleased the Rangers fans. What's your view on it all now?
Well, I think he'll win tomorrow. Obviously, they're favourites, and I agree with Daz. I think they will get through tomorrow, but again, I think it's just papering over the cracks. I think when you've been here over a year, the Rangers supporters, the Rangers board must expect to see better. And I'm not just talking about results on the pitch. Of course, that comes hand in hand with being at a big club like Rangers. You need results. But performances, player development, signings, coming in and improving the squad. And if you take it from this time last year, or just before Clement came in to now, are Rangers in a better place? On the pitch I'm talking about, never mind off the pitch. I don't think they are. And that would be concerning. I think he got that bounce. He spoke yesterday about the bounce and how it's possible for it to happen again and to go on a good run. However, when he came in as a new manager, the place was at rock bottom. So as a player, you always get a lift for a new manager, a new regime, a new start for some players. And he went that fantastic run. But those players that went that fantastic run have all regressed now. You look at them individually. And Tavernier's the biggest standout of the lot. I mean, he was chipping in for his manager during that period in terms of goals and performances. The Rangers captain has went backwards along with a lot of the other ones that were there. And the new signings he's brought in, how long can you bang on about them being new to this country? So, again, papering over the cracks with a win against Motherwell tomorrow. It's a big decision for John Gilligan. And I think if Rangers had anybody in place in the CEO department, the decision might have been made before now.
But the players can't get away from taking a part of blame. For me right now, it looks to me, right, and I hate saying this, it looks like players are throwing them under a bus. You see the other night there, you look at Aberdeen under this new manager, the way he's got everybody united as a football club, from the supporter, the board, to the players, to the coaching staff, everybody's united, and he's only spent 2 million quid in the summer, and he's made such a difference. You see Shinny, for instance, the desire, the hunger, the work rate, everything about it. Look at Rangers' two goals they conceded the other night there. It took Raskin 5 seconds before he realised, I need to get out to the wide area. Barami passes on Devlin, takes no responsibility. Devlin scores back post. The next goal, there's no desire to go with runners. The left back gets in behind them, no problem. Tavernier's standing flat footed, goes to have a go at it, it comes off the post. Who's first to react? Aberdeen players. There's just, there's something wrong inside that club just now, and it's from top to bottom. And to be honest with you, and I totally agree with the supporters, they've had enough of it. They've paid a lot of good money up and down the country. They've supported that club through and through. They deserve a bit more.
But the supporters, having had their say, and they're not having him anymore, but he is now beginning to look lost. He began to sound and look confused by it all. And the unfathomable approach to his work now, with the rotation, no team ever plays the same game, Hugh, one after the other.
They get back in the game the other night there. Barami scores a goal, right? He looked like the only guy up front that's got to pull them out the hole. What happens?
Takes him off.
He substitutes him. Jeffrey has played every single game at left back, and I think he was coming on to a game and looking good. They go to the most important game of their season, and he comes out before a game and talks about, well, I've had a chat with the sports science. Where's the control of a manager?
See, in terms of you saying that about, I've had a chat with sports science coming out and saying that to the media, do you not think that's been a big downfall from him as well? You're saying he sounds lost, but post-match press conferences, going back to Ibrox in the game against Celtic, get stranger and stranger, yeah. And then trying to paint a picture that's clearly not visible to the majority of your support. Do you not think somebody should have helped him along the way with that and said, look, our fans are not stupid to the manager.
But as I say, Mark,
be honest.
When he came here at first, he was a model of clarity. Everyone remarked upon the way he summed games up and summed them up well. And now people are turning to look at each other and saying, I can't believe he just said
he
that.
He brought in Proper, right? He brought him in for big games. He goes to Pittodrie, he's on the bench. Jeffrey's played every game left back, on the bench. He subs the only guy who scores a goal. The only guy who looks like he's going to score a goal. And I'm a fan, I like Dessers, right? I really do like Dessers. I'm probably one of the few. But he plays 80 minutes and contributes absolutely nothing to the game.
I think the biggest problem will be, and I fully accept that Motherwell are second favourites tomorrow, as they should be, given the resources that both sides have, given that we are in a National Cup semi-final. But if Stuart Kettlewell's side do win that match, there can be no set of circumstances allowable, far less imaginable, that would make Philippe Clement, Rangers manager, thereafter. I know they have to go to Greece, play Olympiakos in the Europa League, come back, Hearts at Ibrox, then it's the international break. But if Rangers somehow contrive to lose to Motherwell tomorrow, how can anyone of sound mind make a case for the manager staying?
The latest line that he comes out with regularly, Roger, which seems to be annoying the Rangers fans, is this notion of, we can't go back to what happened in 2012. Notice he's just started mentioning that quite a lot. It's clearly very deliberate. It's really not washing with the Rangers fans, though.
No, it's not, and I'll tell you why it's not, Gordon. It's a completely different set of circumstances. He wasn't about, he doesn't know the history of the situation. He has been given plenty of money by the Rangers board to spend. Yes, they've downsized in terms of wages. Out goes Conor Goldson, Kemar Roof, Borna Barisic, John Lundstrom, people like that. But in comparison to the Aberdeens, the Kilmarnocks, the Motherwells, in comparison to the St Johnson and the Hearts that I'm watching this afternoon, he is a very rich man. And this is what rankles with Rangers fans. Jimmy Tillien comes in with a fraction of the money that Philippe Clement had lavished upon him in the summer and has won 15 games out of 16. Philippe Clement has won 2 from 10 away from home. Motherwell have won 2 out of the last 3 in the road. Kilmarnock have won 2 out of the last 3 in the road. Dundee United, new to the league, have won 2 of the last 3 in the road. He's only won 2 of his last 10 on the road. They've scored 2 goals in 5 away Premiership games this season. Daz used to score 2 in 5 minutes away from home. It's a pathetic effort by Rangers, and the fans can see through all of the excuses that are being laid before them.
Where do you stand, Fraser, on the statement that you hear regularly, which is based on this week's financial figures as well, Rangers cannot afford to sack the manager? Does that make sense?
Well, it depends what's in his contract. He signed a new contract, didn't he, at the start of the season, and quite often people think he's signed a 3 or 4 year contract. That means they've got to pay him the full amount. There'll be a notice period in that contract, maybe 6 months, maybe 12 months, that the club would have to pay up. But yes, certainly, I mean, the figures were really, really concerning during the week. I mean, you look at the losses that they've racked up over the last 10 years or so, the club, you know, that they're really doing, sorry, they're surviving on loans from directors and rich fans, soft loans. So where do you go now? You can't keep going back to the well, especially when people have put a lot of money in and might want it back at some point as well. So they've got to go on. I think Roger's right, and looking at it, they've got more money than most clubs. In fact, any club except for Celtic in terms of wage bill and transfer fees as well. But it's about getting the right players in, and it's clearly that hasn't happened in the last 12 to 18 months. So he feels and he looks and he sounds like a man under...
Fraser was sounding magnificent there as well. We just lost him briefly. Let's try and get that tidied up. But let's go around you all then just quickly, because if everybody is making this big bold prediction that he wouldn't survive a defeat tomorrow, relatively briefly, Roger, will Rangers win or lose that tie tomorrow?
That's a very, very good question, Gordon. I think there will be severe, nervy moments tomorrow. Motherwell have been buoyed by the win at Tannadice in midweek. They've got good players who can hurt Rangers. I would not put any money on Rangers getting through to the cup final.
I would take Rangers. I think they simply have more potential match winners than Motherwell have. And good luck to Lennon Miller, captain at 18. However, that does suggest to me that Motherwell are low on resources. He's the best young player in the country, but are you telling me that an 18-year-old is their first choice to lead the team?
Well, he's not. So it's there through injury, of course. David Friel, tomorrow.
I wouldn't say anything will be straightforward for Rangers, Gordon, and it wouldn't surprise me if they need extra time to see off Motherwell. They probably will just edge it, but I think it'll be very tight.
You two in the studio.
Rangers for me, but I think they're kicking the can just further down the road.
Yeah, I think Rangers will just stage it.
So you've all come on here and given me this big bold shout that he wouldn't survive a defeat tomorrow, and none of you think he'll get a defeat tomorrow. That seems like a good point to knock it on the head, because we've got big business to take care of today, first of all. But clearly the Rangers situation has been the biggest talking point of the week. We've got Premiership games, Championship fixtures, and we're edging ever closer to that semi-final between Aberdeen and Celtic this evening as well. We will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick-off on a Saturday afternoon, or some of the kick-offs, St Johnstone against Hearts, St Mirren against Ross County in the Premiership at 3. We've got big games in the Championship and beyond. And then, of course, I suspect many of you will be setting out on your way to Hampden, depending how far you have to travel, at Celtic and Aberdeen in the first of the League Cup semi-final. So you can tweet us all afternoon at ClydeSSB, especially if you're building up to that game. And, of course, we will open the phones a bit later. Let's go back around the grounds though, ahead of those 3 o'clock games, as we mentioned. St Mirren against Ross County. Fraser Wishart is in Paisley. Fraser, I suppose the obvious hope for Stephen Robinson would be that that win the other night, because it wasn't straightforward, but that can be a real, you know, springboard going forward and try and kick on their season.
Yeah, I think it was a really important second 45. They got a wee bit of luck as well. VAR, I think, disallowed 3 goals for St Johnstone in that second half as well. And it got St Mirren back on track, because, I think I said earlier, after the Hearts game and the 4-0 down, I don't think I've watched an interview with Stephen Robinson where he's been so down, you know, and he was actually talking about relegation and being at the bottom of the table. So they won down, and possibly even 2 down, or they could have been 2 down, sorry, against St Johnstone. They got the break, the VAR, and they got back into the game. So that's given them a real lift. Ayunga getting a goal as well. He's been a long time out injured, and he likes to rotate his forward players. So he's getting Ayunga back and scoring a goal will be important for him. But I think Greg Kilty has been a really player that they've missed, and he's been back in the last couple of weeks as well. He's the one player that has got a bit of skill there. They've got pace and power in all the right areas. But Kilty's clever. He's a footballer, he can create chances as well. So Kilty back in the team is a real asset for St Mirren.
Here are the pre-match thoughts of Stephen Robinson.
We faced a tough challenge. They've had some very good results, including a draw against Henderson in midweek. So there's no easy challenges in this league. We have to be 100% on our game. The intensity that we showed in the last two games was St Mirren. And I believe we've reset ourselves, and it's now to continue that performance. We haven't won 2 games in the bounce all season, so that gives you a little bit of momentum. And when you can do that, you climb the table and gives you a little bit of leeway from the bottom of it.
That's the thing, because Fraser, people, understandably, managers will say at this stage, I don't really look at the table. But when you see Ross County and St Mirren sort of right next to each other on the table on 11 points, and just below them St Johnstone, who we'll get to, are doing fine, I don't think anyone at this point properly predicts Hibs or Hearts to go down. So you just wonder what that bottom six is going to look like, or when it'll take shape.
Absolutely, I think they all want somebody to drop off. Livingston saved their day last year. They were dropped off a number of points for most of last season, certainly after sort of first third. So you've got a bit of comfort there if you're a team, but you're maybe if you're sitting on or whatever, you're going to look at, will Ross County, will St Johnstone drop off? But there's no signs of them doing that. So you can easily go, and we're talking just a minute ago about the importance of that win in midweek. You know, if they hadn't won that, they would be the team above the two Edinburgh clubs, sitting on, they've been 10th place. So really important victory. Important now for St Mirren to get a run of games where they can get some points on the board and get themselves back up that table, because it's going to be a tough season. I just don't think anybody's going to drop off, and we're going to have a real battle between four or five teams at the bottom come the end of the season.
Well, will St Johnstone or Hearts or both be involved? We will find out. But they play each other today in Perth, Roger Hannah. Just wonder about Hearts, because we couldn't escape every single Saturday last season talking about Lawrence Shankland, because he was doing brilliant things. With that comes an increased expectation, and with that means people are going to notice when you don't do the same the following season. How would you sum up the position he finds himself in?
It's a difficult one. I mean, he really has dropped off. He's gone from 30 goals in Player of the Year to one goal. So reliant on Lawrence's goals last season, you know. I can't remember who the second top goal scorer was, but he was 25 goals behind Lawrence Shankland. And if that's the case, the problems arise when Shankland, the goals dry up as they have this season. You know, today Alan Forrest, Jan Dander, Blair Spittle will be asked to try and get round about him, to try and create, but also to try and score goals and try and take the burden off Lawrence Shankland. It must weigh heavily in his shoulders, Gordon. He's got the armband, and he will know. You know, Neil Critchley yesterday had to defend him against allegations about his, shall we say, conditioning. So when the goals dry up, people try and pick holes in Lawrence Shankland's game, even in the way Lawrence Shankland looks, and that's not a good situation for the lad to be in. It will be weighing heavily on his mind, and if there's anyone in the country in need of a goal, it's Lawrence Shankland.
I was going to bring Mark Wilton in to ask about conditioning, but he's got his fourth Subway cookie of the afternoon in his mouth at the moment, so we'll leave it for now and hear from the managers, of course. Home boss first, Simo Vallecari.
They have the quality. They have quality there, but it's not, you know, we have been concentrating on our thing, and we know it as well. As you said, it, they will come here and they see, you know, this game, you know, okay, they can restart their season or how you call it. But that's a normal thing, you know. We need to be ready, and it's, as always, it's all about us. But we look this opportunity to play here in front of our own fans, and be positive, be brave, doing all the little details as well as possible, because, as I said it, against a quality team, quality players, if you sleep this one moment, they will punish you.
So new managers who started well but lost during the week is Simo Vallecari and Neil Critchley.
I've seen the word reality check, probably was in some aspects. I'm not daft. I watched a lot of the games before I came here, so I know some of the issues that have been apparent. There's a fine line in between winning and losing football matches, and what happens in both penalty boxes ultimately decides what the outcome of the game. And the other night we weren't good enough in both boxes.
Looking forward to that one as well. And as we said, our featured match in the Championship is Falkirk against Morton. And David Field, Falkirk may be the only team, as the league table would tell you, that I haven't shown any serious weakness yet. You look at Ayr last night, you know, people were wondering if they could be contenders. Livy spectacularly lost their unbeaten run during the week with a 3-0 defeat against Dunfermline, but Falkirk's sailing along.
Yeah, there was just that one bump in the road. I spoke about earlier against Raith when they lost, but it bounced back straight away. You know, a really good run since then, Gordon. You just get a sense when you come here now that, you know, they feel something special is happening. There's actually a bit of a floodlight display going on right now. It's Falkirk's version of the disco lights, but a huge crowd here. And we spoke about fans wanting to see a team play with identity and clarity and style and all that earlier on. I think John McGlynn has done an unbelievable job here at Falkirk. You know, just looking at it, they've not been in the top flight for nearly 15 years. They had 4 years in League One, but he's taken this club out of the doldrums. Crowds were down, people had kind of fallen out of love with a local club, and he's brought back the good times. And, you know, I fully expect Falkirk to go on and win this league. I do think Livy will give them a run for their money, but I think Falkirk are the best team in the Championship. I think they've got players to come back. If they can add one or two just to strengthen in January, I don't see anybody catching them at all.
Go on then, a word for your employer, as always, Mark. We don't mind it, because they're obviously a team that are local to us and are a big deal to our listeners. Dunfermline, Partick Thistle today.
Well, good results in recent weeks from a Thistle perspective, playing a bit better, showing a bit more attacking intent, and got the rewards for that. But it's a big one today. It's going to be tough, because Dunfermline picked up that good result against Livy. Nobody really saw that coming. So again, another one in the balance, but that Championship is full of games like this. Only Falkirk really is the outlier who are really the standout team. Everyone else can beat each other. So again, a tough one for Thistle. I think they'll just edge it today. I'll go for.
You're chuckling away.
Well, he couldn't turn around and say I fancy Dunfermline strongly, could he? I think they'll just edge it.
Just edge it. Ah, well, they were decent there last year. I think they'd odd goal they won it by. I think it'll be the same again today.
Okay. Right, well, we'll leave it there because that's the pre-match talking done ahead of the 3 o'clock games. The proper pre-match ahead of Celtic Aberdeen is of course still to come. But for the meantime, we'll pause for breath and get the 3 o'clock games underway next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. They're all excited. They've got an extra spring in their step because it's League Cup semi-final weekend. Before we even get to that, we've only got three featured games. These half five kickoffs change things for us, and all it means, the challenge is three games on your ACCA this afternoon. I don't think any of you have had any success recently. I'm only asking for the outcome of three games. Take it away.
It's a Mirren draw
against Ross County.
Hearts away
at St Johnson,
and Falkirk home win
against Morton. Okay,
St Mirren home win, draw St Johnson Hearts, and I'll go for a Falkirk home win.
I'm going St Mirren, St Johnson and Falkirk, all three home wins.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
And just like that, we are underway. Let's get the 3 o'clock games up and running. Let's see what drama we can get in the leagues before the semi-finals of the League Cup take place a bit later on this evening. We'll properly build up to it, Hugh. Of course we will. We'll have team news, we'll have Gabriel at Hampden. But really, if you're to draw your ideal semi-final, it might be a nice place to start. To have two teams that are only separated by goal difference at the top of the table, haven't lost. Add in the Aberdeen story, it's just a brilliant prospect, isn't it?
I can only sum it up in one four-letter word: epic. It has all the hallmarks of an epic cup tie. Because
E-P-I-C.
Go, yeah, yeah, I'm writing that down.
Is there no K at the end of that?
No, there's no K at the end of it. No.
Epic.
You had me on it. That's the beauty of the way you do things. I was on edge there as to what is this four-letter word going to be.
No, I mean, Jimmy Tilleen.
Good.
The great success story of the season. Brendan Rodgers, the seasoned campaigner, the man who has, on two tours of duty at Celtic Park, delivered not only trophies but unique things like the invincible season and the trebles. Everything he touches turns to gold for Celtic. But the League Cup was the big shock last season when they went out to Kilmarnock, and he wants that trophy back because he wants a treble, and the Celtic supporters expect a treble because of the undiluted success the club has had. But here we have Aberdeen, the upstart team of the season, and it is terrific to behold. Because when I saw the pyrotechnic display prior to the game against Rangers on Wednesday, I thought to myself, Pataudry hasn't looked and felt like this since the halcyon days of Sir Alec himself. It's never been like this since Sir Alec left 40 years ago.
Did he like pyrotechnics as well?
No, I think he'd have been out and cuffed your ear if he'd had a pyrotechnic anywhere near him. But the feeling about the club now, been, as I say, I think to an extent Aberdeen are the great underachievers in Scottish football. 40 years since they got a title, 34 years since they got a Scottish Cup, 10 years since they got a League Cup, and even that was in penalties against Inverness Cali Thistle. But this man has revolutionised the whole place, and tonight, under the floodlights, full house, epic.
We have missed the big build up, the big suspense. You know, we're practicing, we're rehearsing for you two for your big Christmas night out, where we're going to
Where is that?
Wait and see when the first goal where the first goal goes in Scotland, and then we're going to send you off there for your
Edinburgh
Christmas.
Is it?
South now, Edinburgh.
Bonnie Rigg Rose have scored inside the first minute. It is in Midlothian. It's about 8 miles southeast of Edinburgh city centre, I think. You're just kind of between the rivers north and south.
We just missed it in Hamilton as well.
Could have went to Hamilton.
The palace.
You heard a few
tales from the palace.
Oh, I used to parachute to the palace.
Parachute. Thank goodness you said that.
Holding a lady's hand.
You're still banned from there, are you not?
A palace.
I thought it was like a lifetime.
There are statues in the palace.
Definite to ban.
Had some great nights in the
palace. Tell you what, and then it would be a real close run thing because Elgin scored just after.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what Elgin's equivalent of the Hamilton Palace is. Mm. But we need to pick a date then for you two to do this experiment.
Well, it needs to be early December.
Get the diary out and we'll see.
Yeah,
early goal. Whoever scores first, we
first
send you
December.
Off. And there we go. It's half time between Dumbarton and Cove. Because they requested to kick off early, I think just saving the floodlights or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and plus the fact it gives Cove the opportunity to get them down. You know,
people travelling home safer.
I like that. I think a lot of the lower leagues should have that option. Just request a 1 o'clock kickoff, 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
get over and done with.
Exactly, and you've got the full Saturday night.
Not sure. Get it over and done with is quite the right.
Football only get in the way on a Saturday, doesn't it?
That's, you did say that. Especially a Pittodrie journey for you.
Oh, I hated Pittodrie. I was delighted when I got dropped.
Right, Hugh, whilst we wait on our first goal of our featured matches, let's do this.
Why not?
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Tropicality is everything. Since 2022, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Name them. Since 2022, half a dozen players have scored for Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Who are they?
Don't look up. Just have a go. See if you can recall them off the top of your head at Clyde SSB. Said this last night. For some reason, I find like Cup semi-finals quite hard to recall.
Yeah.
Sometimes, unless like if your team's involved or whatever, you would remember it. But what was the question that sparked this last night? I think it was just who did Rangers play in the Cup semi last season.
I would say Hearts.
And it was Hearts. But you were on, I think, on Thursday when we had the question. No,
no, it wasn't a question.
What about Pedro Caixinha day when he ended up?
Oh, I remember that, of course.
That's Motherwell,
what I said. When you've got your own vested interest. Ryan Bowman and Fabio Cardozo, Bloodbath and Louis Moult. Oh, memories. Inverness 1, Kelty Hearts 0. Louis Longstaff with the goal. Obviously very troubled times for Inverness. So on one hand, I would be pleased for the fans that they've gone in front, and on the other, my sympathy to Friday night Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard pundit Scott Allen, who's not even fit. He's helping out with the coaching, and he's all the way up in
Inverness.
Is he not
back playing again? I know he had a problem with his arm, didn't he?
Broken wrist.
Broken wrist, come on. You can
strap that up. You always see the players with the tape on it now, don't you? The fashionable tape.
He's not got a stookie.
He's only just got it off though. Had the stookie until like last week.
I agree with you, Dan. He's just got on with it.
I think he's been told it's quite a serious thing by all accounts. A clean break. I think it's a while yet before he's good to go. Anyway, Inverness 1 Kelty 0 is the game. Is the latest goal, sorry, that one coming down in League One. Nothing in our featured matches, but we only have three of them, so maybe we will be a bit quieter on that front. Your first half teaser. Easy mistake to make. Your first half teaser is up and running, so get your game faces on. It's at Clyde SSB. We need all of your answers quickly. Send them over. And there's been a goal in the early game that we referenced there. Dumbarton 0 Cove Rangers 1. Fraser Fivey on 50 minutes.
He's been about for a while.
Yeah.
Good times at Aberdeen. Is that right? Aberdeen.
That's where it started.
Aberdeen, Dumbarton rather, 15 points ahead of Inverness Cali Thistle at kickoff time. So might be reduced to 12. Maybe the fight back's on.
Fraser Fivey, FA Cup winner.
Yep, that's right. It's amazing.
With
FA Cup winner with Wigan.
Oh, you know your stuff, honestly.
When you think of quality of players, and you think of players, you know, going down the level, I've told you before, we came up against him breaking. And Cove were a good side, but he looked like a 6 year in high school playing against primary school boys.
That right?
Say more about your breaking team than anything? No,
he did it throughout the league, though. So I would
well
say about my team, but he would just run about and had freedom of the pitch. He's brilliant at that level.
Do you know what I say Saturday afternoons?
A breaking.
Standing there a glebe.
No.
Looking
no.
over at that hedge, thinking, I used to play in the Champions League.
I don't miss the hedge, no. How is the hedge men doing these days? Anybody?
Top of the Highland League again.
Probably, that league never play games in the same day. Probably someday.
No, they're very
four,
much.
Four
very
games
much,
in hand.
Very much top. Banks of D, I think, just behind them, who knocked out East Fife in the
That's
cup.
Who last my young Thistle team drew in the Scottish Cup for the next round.
Banks of D.
Banks of D. You'll love this. So it has to be a Friday, doesn't it? I guess what time they kick off it.
Please tell me 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Banks of D away on a Friday night in a couple of weeks.
And you'll be in here the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It'll come straight from Banks of D.
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to that, I have to say.
What's happening with City?
That won't matter, will it?
Nah, they'll come back.
Bournemouth 1, Man City 0. Semenyo on 9 minutes. Ethan Ross has had a shot blocked for Falkirk after a corner. Morton tried to break, but Michael Garrity's shot saved by Hogarth in the goal.
Looking at the league table and some of the feature games, it's amazing to think St Mirren 6 defeats this season and can go into the top 6 today with a win. You know, it just shows that the
how
inconsistency. But well, I was going to paint it in a nicer way than you.
Let's be honest.
The
don't
inconsistency
mess Saturday.
Between Aberdeen and Celtic and the rest of the league. You know, if you're a betting man, you'd struggle to get up a cootin' with some of the results this season.
Speaking from experience,
that's just the guy you're left me.
I've stopped. I don't even put it on.
Well, either.
Well, the worst is, the most extreme example is League One. Have you seen? Have you noticed the points situation in League One?
Oh,
5 points separating.
17, yeah.
5 points separating first and ninth.
We'd call that well contested, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
That's what we want in our top division, is it not?
I mean, unlikely to happen because of the, you know, the goal difference, all that sort of stuff. But just on a kind of basic level, you know, Queen of the South are seven. They're seventh. If they got the right win, it would put them top.
Amazing that.
Well, either St Mirren or Ross County, if there's a winner in Paisley,
oh, you're having a nightmare.
They'd be only 2 points behind Motherwell.
I tell you what, everybody spoke so highly. Reece McCabe,
yeah,
and he's sitting there. I just looked at the points. That's 33 points available so far, and they've picked up 5, and they're already 2-0 down to Hamilton Accies at home.
Airdrie 0, Hamilton Accies 2. Inside 9 minutes, it's a Sam Graham own goal. And as Gordon quite rightly says, they were given a lot of plaudits, and understandably so.
You know what he'll be getting just now, don't you? Could you go?
The Airdrie fans are lovely.
That's the reason I used to just go to games away from there. On you go, Mark.
There would be times we'd be winning and playing brilliantly, and the fans were still shouting abuse.
Seriously, a real.
I don't know how that happened. Well, look, he's lost some of the personnel that was so integral to some of those performances and eye catching way of playing. So he's had to replace that. But like, when you're in that division, we've said it before, anybody can beat anybody. They can't get a grip of anything to hold on to. Like, they can't get ahead in games and just dig in and get a result that might kick them on. And they're getting, you know, beat every single week. He's finding it difficult. However, I think the Airdrie board will stand by that. I really do. I think he's got enough goodwill in the tank.
Not won a championship game since the opening weekend of the season, I think, against Wraith.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. It shows how football can change so quickly. Reese was being touted for jobs higher up in the leagues, maybe some down south as well, and rightly so, because it was an attractive way of playing. But football just changes. It's on a knife edge a lot of the time.
Conceded too many goals. That's 22 goals in 12 games.
But I wonder if it's the higher up the league you go, you go into the next division and you're playing against, like, he's playing against John Rankin's team today. Now, John, knowing him, would have studied Airdrie within an inch of their life. They've come up with a system, they're working things, teams are a wee bit more professional, they're prepared for what Airdrie were. I think a lot of last season, people were surprised by how Airdrie played, the system they played, and they were free-flowing attack, they got ahead in games, they were very hard then to pin back. Teams were on the back foot. I think teams have caught on to that. And it's maybe just a bit reinventing yourself or tweaking some of your tactics to get the best out of the squad you've got. Maybe he has to look at that. But I think they'll stick by him. I don't think he's under pressure just yet.
Cove were right to ask for an early kickoff. Two up now.
Yep, Mitch Meginson, scorer again of many goals down the leagues. Dumbarton Hill Cove, 2:55 minutes gone there. As we said, that is the earlier kickoff at the request of both teams to get it over and done with. Up the road for Strictly, I think that's the is that the idea?
Nobody's watching Strictly now.
Oh, I do every week. I watched it last week.
Audience figures are dipping.
Yeah, no wonder.
It was Halloween week last week. It was good.
It's the worst programme.
No, I'm standing up for Strictly.
Seriously?
I watch it every week. Yeah. You've got to admire some of the steps and there's some of the footwork.
I'd rather go to Banks or DBU next Friday.
You've got to like it. It's the only thing it's on now in the sort of tonight.
Alloa 1, Anna nil. Cammy O'Donnell with the goal there on 13 minutes.
I tried old ballroom dancing once.
Did you?
Went for lessons, yeah.
Ahead of which wedding?
Oh, his wedding.
The third one, and then I forgot every step.
Nerves get the better of
you. No, I had a few wines. Oh, my missus. Oh, honestly, I thought, here
we
go.
You went for proper lessons?
For two months.
I can't imagine you.
Two and one.
Or one and two.
Whatever it may be, right? And I went strict once for 2 months every week, right? For my, I can't even remember what my song was. You know how you have a song?
Yes, it's called The First Dance.
That's it. I can't even remember.
Or The Third Dance in your case.
I'm the only person who's had an album at the weddings I've been at. And I've got to admit, I thought to myself, right, this is my moment. And I got up. And I swear I forgot every single thing I was taught.
You know what, that's in a nutshell. I think that's like you as a player. Nervous. See, when it comes to the big moment, nervous.
What are you doing nervous? I'm drinking too much champagne.
Please drink responsibly.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you're getting married.
She must have loved that night as well.
She'd get better looking by the hour.
Stop it. Liverpool 0, Brighton 1, Hugh. The family will be happy.
Let me tell you, my grandson's media class on Thursday, media class, a study of the final hour of Super Scoreboard after the game at Pittodrie the night before.
That teacher's at it, absolutely phoning it in. Can't be bothered planning a lesson, so it's, Archie's grandpa's on the radio. We'll stick that on.
What do you mean, media class?
At school.
You get a media class at school?
Oh, modern ways now, yeah.
How old is he?
15.
15, you're getting a media. You're right, Gordon. The teachers just thought,
it's like the equivalent of sticking a film on towards the end of school.
I say to my son all the time, this week in particular, what are we doing at school? We watched another movie.
Brilliant.
I'm like, what?
Always the best.
How many films you watching at
school?
Did you
do that at school?
Yeah, you up.
Watch a movie.
John McGlynn.
I only like the end of term or whatever, they'd wheel the telly in. You could hear it coming along the corridor. Now they'll have these smart boards and whatever to do it all. But
he's studying in geography, he's studying tsunamis, so they put on that film The Impossible and just let them watch it over the course of a week.
We always watched Titanic in history and then everybody was
shipbuilding.
Everybody was sitting.
I thought you were going to sing it.
All the first years are all sitting waiting on them getting inside the car, the sweaty handprint in the window.
You would have loved that bit.
Anyway, luckily for everyone,
Calamity Jane with Doris Day.
TV at your school, not a chance. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. I was going to say, if we didn't get a goal within the next minute, I was genuinely going to open up and say, tell us what films you watched at school. It was getting to that stage of worrying me about the lack of goals. You can still do that if you want, but it's 1-0 to Falkirk. Keelan Adams header from a free kick. Miller's delivery, nice header. And there we go, that one starting as you might expect, looking at the form of the two sides. So Falkirk 1, Morton 0.
I just think it's such a sensational story. John McGlynn, the possibility of back-to-back promotions, Falkirk back in the Premiership. It would be a phenomenal story. And good luck to him. I hope he does it.
We had that a couple of years ago, where Broth, but I think where Broth, we all kind of suspected that may come down to a bridge too far for them, which I proved. But with Falkirk, you can't really see them collapsing. Just seeing them first, but seeing them firsthand and how they play, I'm struggling to see how that can then all go belly up, really. So once he's got that momentum going with the team, everybody's feeling good. Somebody mentioned it earlier, January, I think. Was it David that mentioned it earlier? If he adds one or two.
Well, Falkirk fans won't thank me for saying, because two things would need to happen then. They would need to really collapse. And also, the Championship is notorious for no one else really going to put on a big run. Do you know what I mean? Who's... who's the one that's going to now emerge and definitely be way more consistent? Clearly, yeah, it could still happen. It's early in the season, but it feels like they're already, Gordon, it feels like a pretty safe bet they're going to be there or thereabouts.
Oh, they'll certainly be there or thereabouts. I think there's only two teams in that running. I think the two teams are at the top of the table just now. I think Falkirk and Livingston will see that out to see who wins it. I watched Ayr and Mull Club Wraith. Well, Ayr's Mull Club as well. Both Mull Clubs, right, I'll say that, last night. And it was a terrific result for Wraith.
What about the goal from Wraith?
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, brilliant. What a goal on the left hand side. They've not seen that stats part since 1984.
Don't make it about
84.
You.
No, I didn't play there at 87. Sorry.
Great, wasn't it? Lewis Stevenson rolling back the years.
You know, you're looking at Hibs second bottom, you're looking at a colourless team, very low in confidence, enthusiasm, aggression, pace, whatever. And there's Lewis Stevenson, who left the club, and he looks terrific. And you think, surely they must be thinking to themselves, we made a mistake letting him go.
But there are all these little subplots in the Falkirk story as well, because the goal scorer there, Keelan Adams, signed from
an English club?
No. Cumbernauld Colts in the Lowland League to Falkirk and flying, standing out every week, according to the guys that go along for this show.
Is he right back?
He's a full back.
By any chance, yeah. I got told about him a couple of weeks ago, and somebody says, this boy, keep an eye on him. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you got offered him at Brechin and Brechin, turned
by
down.
The way, if you have got offered at Brechin, so
Fraser was telling us he was in the USA on a scholarship. So, you know, he's a football intellectual, much like yourself, Dazzler. Mm. And
he wasn't born in the USA, was he?
No, that was Bruce
Springfield.
He nearly ruined it by not being able to say the word Bruce, but he managed it in the end.
Lovely for him.
But seriously, a good story, Mark, and a great sort of lesson, if you like, that there are a lot of good players out there if you know where to find them.
And I think even for players, understanding that there's a lot of different pathways. You don't have to come through an academy or, you know, be a Celtic Rangers and then work your way down to Falkirk. You can go away and get an education and come back and still have the opportunity. You need the club to buy into it. And that's what John McGlynn's done, though. He's recruited, you know, on profile and attributes rather than the club year.
Do you remember Clyde went down that road and went and signed all the junior players under Alan Maitland and Ron McDonald? Do you remember that?
No.
And they just went into the junior leagues, brought all the junior players in, and took a bit of criticism. By the way, they've done brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Fraser Wishart's just sent the match stats from St Mirren Ross County with, where are we, 20 minutes gone, 22 minutes gone, 50% possession each, no shots on target or off target, obviously, no shots blocked. Ross County, one touch in the St Mirren box. St Mirren, three touches in the Ross County box.
It's an epic queue.
No, it's played another, in the H. That's where that's played. So
it's another four letter word. We'll move on after that.
Edinburgh City 1, 4-0. John Robertson with the goal. Let's check in on the teaser, Hugh. We're about to reach the midway point of the first half.
Since 2022, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Name them.
I think this is the type that people can just Google. So let's see if we've got just general knowledge out there without having to look it up. Most people doing pretty well, I have to say. I was hoping for some wrong answers. Well, Bailey did want to throw in Callum McGregor.
No.
Right, okay, keep your guesses coming there. What about Greg's Gardens thinks it might be James Forrest?
No.
Okay, well, that's two quite popular wrong
Forrest,
ones.
I thought he was one.
Nah.
Scored against Motherwell.
He would be a safe bet, wouldn't he?
Yeah, 1 year was that a long time ago.
He would be a safe bet. Queen of the South 1, Montrose 0. That said Pharrell Williams. This has escaped me. Queen of the South have got a Pharrell Willis. When did this happen?
Who's your manager of Queen of the South?
Boy Frey Annan. It used to be Peter Murphy.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go. Now you know.
It's a school day.
Every day's a school day.
Yeah, get a film on.
Hi, back to the films.
No one's tweeted me to tell me what films they used to watch at school, on. I have to say.
It used to be near Christmas time, eh?
But you're right. So the Titanic one stayed with me for obvious reasons, and as a what would we would have watched something in geography about a volcano? What would that have been?
Dante's Peak.
Yes.
That is a brilliant film, man. Pierce Brosnan.
I'm glad you're here.
He saved the day.
Dante's Peak.
You never seen that?
Nah.
Oh, I'll get on that.
Man, you're right. It's the ones when they try and pass it off as educational.
Tells you everything you need to know about volcanoes.
My ambition this year, and I've said it every year under this guy here, that I'm going to watch that. Is it the one Christmas?
Listen, we'll save this discussion for a couple of weeks. Sick of you having never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
A Wonderful
the
Life.
The Christmas movie discussion I've got scheduled in for 3 weeks' time. So we'll wait till then.
Imagine going to the pictures every year, and that tells you there's a problem.
I think that's acceptable.
I don't go to the cinema every year now.
Do you?
Not since I had a child.
The kid came along and ruined it.
Just watch it in the house.
He's got another one as well, so that's going to ruin another few things.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Moving on, Alloa 2, Annan 0, Luke Rankin with the goal, Peterhead 1, the Spartans 1, Bradley White, Clyde 1, Bonnie Rigg Rose 1, Jordan Allen's equalised, Darren Young's first league game in charge.
Well, rock bottom of the league, so Darren will need to hit the ground running.
That's a hard job, isn't it? Taking over Clyde.
Yeah.
What about the.
Couldn't they pay me enough to do that?
What about the Spartans as well? Because they obviously caused the big cup shock, didn't they? Beating with Ross County earlier on in the season, and then got dumped out of the Scottish Cup quite spectacularly last week. So they're Cowdenbeath beat them. Lowland League Cowdenbeath knocked them out of the Scottish Cup last week.
You know, sad old Cowdenbeath. I used to love going playing there, Central Park.
The cars,
the big tyres and everything. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Whether they're allowed or disallowed, or even in this case, own goals. Nicky Clark is right in amongst it. He's put in his own net this time to make it 1-0 to Hearts up there in Perth. It's a glancing header at the near post from Blair Spittle's corner, which is never good. Flew inside the far post, and it is a good start for Neil Critchley's side. St Johnstone 0, Hearts 1.
Dad will be raging, Sandy Clark, former Hearts player and manager. But that's a real break for Neil Critchley.
Did Sandy manage Hearts?
Yeah.
I thought he was assisting there.
Just by the description, you can picture that pretty clearly. Can you? Him in that front post area to defend the corner, whipped in and thinking he'll get any touch and glance off his head in his own net. He's had a good time at it recently, though.
Who, Nicky Clark?
Well, captain's armband. Sore one for him this afternoon, though.
I just saw a tweet from Lanarkshire Live Sport, which doesn't sound too encouraging. The police have been called New Broomfield after a number of supporters from the home section rushed towards the south stand housing the Accies fans.
Oh dear.
Following the opening goal.
Because that's a derby, isn't it? That comes under the flagship of a derby,
I would say so.
Here in Hamilton,
Fraser Wishart celebrating. He's had a blocked shot in the game in Paisley. Elvis Bomono's effort.
Look, tell me, Stoke Money. He's good for nothing.
He gets
the stats off the other people. He doesn't even need any work. And he does a wee bit.
Does he? Does he ask somebody else?
Yeah, that's what he done. That's what he said. Somebody from Inverness gave him the stats. He sits and he watches a game. He does 2 minutes at half time, 4 minutes at full time, and he's up the road. And he's sitting there moaning.
No, I honestly feel in the last few weeks, your cruelty towards Fraser has gone too far.
I know he's got a difficult schedule with his the Penguin.
And
I watched him
on
Monday, and I'll tell you what, he's
got a criminal underworld to run. That's shocking for you. Has he ever had any response for that? Has he ever? Come on, scrap the half time analysis, Fraser, and just
roast Gordon DL.
Could you imagine Fraser chapping your door on Thursday night? Right. You're shouting, "Hey Mary, come here and see this guy. This guy's a Penguin. He's absolutely brilliant."
Not nice. I'm not impressed. Genuinely, I don't like it.
Fraser knows. I'm kidding. I love Fraser.
You love the Penguin though, don't you? You're not sharp about it. I've still not seen it, mate, I have to say.
Listen, for anybody out there, honest, it's brilliant. You seen it?
No.
It's brilliant.
What is it?
It's based on, I don't know,
Batman.
Aye, based on that type thing.
He's a villain in Batman.
If you've not seen it, this is right up your street, and I can personally guarantee you it.
What?
Rivals. Have you watched that?
I watched the first episode.
I thought you might
look at the grin in his face. Why is that? Why?
Oh, just entertaining. It's the 80s. Based in the 80s.
I watched the first Gambit.
A lot of action, isn't it?
A lot of action. A lot of action.
Okay, gotta give that a watch later.
It has descended on Twitter as I thought it might. Stephen Bissett says that Bend It Like Beckham used to get wheeled out in RE. No idea what the link was.
An RE,
apparently.
Wow.
Just any sort of foreign culture and stick it on and just see what happens.
It's a film I never watched.
Never seen that. Younger, yeah.
Keira Knightley. Was in that?
Too right. Anyway, back to the football, where the last goal to tell you about in our featured matches, or any match for that matter, was the Hearts opener at St Johnstone, Nicky Clark's own goal. And I suppose if you are Hearts and you're needing a little break, then you won't grumble, Hugh. You'll take it in the form of an own goal.
Well, yeah, any port in a storm. Because had the Hearts lost today, and the game's far from finished, but I think if Hearts were to go down for a second time in 4 days, then all bets are off and the manager comes under fresh appraisal.
I like Hearts' approach. They've put on Twitter a picture of Blair Spittle goal and says, "We'll give that one to Blair." Just don't know if that's how it works.
Yeah, you can give that.
Just don't know how, if we can bend the rules in that manner. There's a man who's flying down south.
Who?
Chris Wood. Nottingham Forest 1.
Has he scored again?
Nottingham Forest 1, West Ham 0.
I watched him last week away from home. Who was it they played? He was brilliant. Scored a couple of goals. Scored a Desmond.
Where are they in the league? Because I said they were fifth last
week. Leicester, last week.
Leicester.
Yeah, so in the top half of the table, certainly, aren't they?
They're up to 9 for the season. Yeah, they're flying comfortably top half. Ethan Ross has had a shot saved, can't convert on the rebound. He's been very good for Falkirk, and they do lead in our featured championship match. Still nothing from your employer, Mark Wilson. Does
nothing,
that surprise
quite
you?
Not really, because if you look at the games recently, very tight, never much really going on, but in the last couple of weeks, Thistle have managed to sneak a couple of goals, one last week against Queen's Park. So often tight affairs, and that doesn't surprise me. I think one goal will win that one.
When will we get the teams from Hampden?
I would say in about 45 minutes time.
That'll be interesting,
yeah,
for Celtic.
A lot of topics of conversation, yeah. And from Aberdeen's perspective, because you touched upon Shinny and the effort, determination. Nicky Devlin, unbelievable. How much is it taken out of them?
They play, doesn't matter. They're rested.
I'm not saying they won't play, but I mean,
I think I've got to be honest, and I didn't really throw in my tuppence worth, but I think Celtic will win that today comfortably.
Oh, I said that during the week, and look what happened to me. I said Rangers will win comfortably.
Yeah, but
yeah, no, that's just a much worse prediction on paper, to be fair.
Well, I mind you, in fairness, I didn't know that Jeffrey and Cherney weren't playing.
Oh,
when
is that
I said
what
that.
It was? Has that changed it? That swung it. That swung it from a comfortable win to a defeat.
That yes,
it's quite drastic. There's a Scotland squad announced on Monday. It's always good to look out for who may or may not be in. If he is in, it won't be to score goals. But anyway, Ryan Porteous has put Watford 1 up at Sheffield Wednesday.
Would you be amenable to the idea of Lennon Miller in the Scotland squad, full squad?
He was named in the 19s this week. I mean, I dare say if Steve Clark had other ideas, they could rearrange, but usually it's a clue that wouldn't happen, but you never know.
In terms of him playing with the 21s, that was the discussion the last time. Was it the right thing? I think, yeah, that was the right thing to give him game time. 19s, though, I think you're more inclined to look up the way in terms of first team
Steve Clark
involvement. Just maybe because it's a, you know, it's a qualifier, and I'm assuming he wants to play or is willing to play or whatever.
Yeah, I'm a you, Mark. I don't think I wouldn't be picking him for the 19s. He's way above that now.
As a player though, is it healthy to start thinking you're above it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got to believe in your own confidence. Aaron Hickey, he was the same one
in the 21s.
Says, look, I'm full international player here. Back your own ability. Lennon Miller's at that stage for me. I don't think the 19s will do him any good. I'm certainly, if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't be playing.
Steve Clark always gives you the impression that he's reluctant to go too far, be innovative, be ambitious, put the kid in.
Put Ben Doak in the squad before the Euros, to be fair, and the only reason he didn't go was because he was injured. He was a teenager at the time.
I think to maybe back Steve Clark up about the selection, if he's not included, which we don't expect him to be because he's in the 19s, is who is in the area that he's in. With Ben Doak, also a lack of strikers, lack of pace in the team, so you can see why he was included.
Because worth bearing in mind, I know it doesn't feel like it, but relatively speaking, the last
break was okay. We got that draw against Portugal, and John McGinn will obviously come back into the midfield to add to that squad that was already there. So we got limited.
You look at
numbers.
McTominay and Gilmore flying at the minute. Yeah, they've got a lot in that area. So that's the one thing it's gone against Lennon Miller just now. But it's no doubt he'll be in there sooner rather than later.
If there was a first time midfield call up, do you think Luke McCowan would enter the thought process?
Not so sure.
No,
I don't know.
He's doing well at Celtic, isn't he? You've got to. He's settled in there well.
Steve Clark will have to do us the favour of coming up here and watching a game.
I think he would have to have more involvement.
Recently, is he not? He comes up. He was in the stands at a game recently, I'm sure.
I think Luke McCowan would have to have a few more starts under his belt. There's no doubt he's been impressive. But I think there's a few ahead of him.
It's VAR check for a St Mirren penalty. Mm. One of those ones that you're not quite sure because there wasn't like big claims or anything. So I suppose on one hand, it's there to spot things that others don't. But then it's always a bit of a strange experience if you're in the stadium, so it would be a chance for St Mirren to take the lead at home to Ross County, but still a bit to work through yet. We don't quite know if
Fraser,
that's going to be given.
Fraser might get overly excited. They've been sitting there for half an hour watching. I tell you, not very much.
They're getting good crowds at St Mirren. I think they're so well, I think it's part and parcel. Mm. Showed you we're getting entertaining football.
Don Robertson is going to the monitor.
Oh, it's been a busy old week for VAR, especially at St Mirren.
Still not had a shot at goal, so this this is certainly going to be a shot at goal if he gives the decision as you would expect him to. Our refs don't actually always stick with what they see at the monitor. You know, they don't always give it, but I think clearly across the world, more often than not, you do expect that to be the case. And it is a penalty to St Mirren. Ross County nil. St Mirren nil at the moment. Sorry, St Mirren nil, Ross County nil.
But O'Hara.
A chance to. Yep, you would imagine so. Scored during the week, didn't he? With the header.
Yeah. I wonder if the horn will be getting tooted. We will not need your goal flash. All we'll hear is beep beep. Girlfriend in the car.
I was wondering what you were going on.
You actually did lose me for a minute. It was for a pull on Marcus Fraser as he jumped for a corner.
Wonder what players are thinking.
I say this all the time, I know. Yeah. Like, we get obsessed and then we all argue about As if you should be allowed a little pull and whatever, which I do get, because, you know, contact is natural. But in the VAR era, you'll all tell me it's a natural reaction, and who am I to argue?
But I think if you do get a wee grab, you've got to let go instantly, so you kind of keep a hold of it.
It is not Mark O'Hara, it is Greg Kilty, who's going to take the spot kick for St Mirren.
Fraser mentioned him, I'm sure.
Ball in hand, and he's going to try and put St Mirren one up at home against Ross County. Don Robertson giving the penalty after going to the monitor. He steps up, Greg Kilty, and it's saved Ross Laidlaw. It remains goalless. He saved it with his legs, and it's a big opportunity that's passed St Mirren by.
Can someone tell me why O'Hara's not? Did he miss one?
He did miss one, didn't he? What game was that again?
But he's a captain. And you don't listen. You miss
maybe
one.
His decision.
You think so?
Motherwell. Remember the eventful one
so
at Fir Park?
So it was, yeah.
Against his former
team. But you step up, you're a captain, take responsibility and put the ball in the back of the net. I'm a bit disappointed in big O'Hara.
Mark.
Yeah.
You weren't quite sure. No. I saw you got to say Mark there.
I just
reversed a bit and just meant O'Hara.
I went with the surname.
He's tried to go down the middle. Greg Kilty saved with the legs of Ross Laidlaw. So a bit of drama, but the scoreline stays as it was.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Not in Falkirk though, and the league leaders just keep on going. It's 2-0 and it's Ethan Ross with a header. It's great play. Ball out to Miller, curls it across, glancing header, and heading into the break, Falkirk 2, Morton 0.
Well, yeah, it's not a coincidence at the top of the league. You know, they have fabulous consistency, they play good football, they're easy on the eye, and they score goals. They have the cocktail for winning promotion.
He's had a good season as well, Ethan Ross. Good season, good player. Morton struggling, you're saying?
Yeah, they're sitting down there, what, 8th? Only with 10 points.
By the way, the start of the season, okay, Morton, because I thought it was going to be difficult for them. A couple of their changes. I think Doug Emery adopted a different style of playing. It looked good in the eye, looked better in the eye than it did last season. Proven ineffective.
Not doesn't turn out to be costly for Ross County, but Eli Campbell, the player who gave away the penalties, the same one that got, remember that daft red card for the two bookings for Ross County in Perth, was that last weekend?
Can't remember that.
You know, over on the far side.
Yeah. Two bookings and quick, the tackle.
Two bookings
yeah.
in quick succession. That's him again. That's the one who's given away the penalty here.
Oh. Is he on loan actually?
I think he might be. Yeah, he is. He's from down south somewhere, yeah. isn't he?
He's having a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one of the bigger clubs. Why can't I remember off the top of my head?
No, Liverpool, is it? No. Just made that up.
Everton, I think.
Close.
Oh, it was close. Just across the road.
Across the Mersey.
Across the swing park, isn't it?
Is it?
Is it a swing park separation?
I have no idea. Let's go for a 5-minute warning on the teaser here.
Okay. Since 2022, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. Name them.
Most people at least getting pretty close. If they don't have them all, they've got most of them. I can see one coming in for Tom Rogic.
No.
Nope. Just probably a bit off in the.
He was a Scottish Cup finalist, wasn't he?
Where is Tom Rogic now? Is he retired?
Retired, yeah.
Chucked it.
Did he?
Ramped. I loved him. I thought he was a great
player. Good, wasn't he? Okay, keep your guesses coming then. Maybe 5 minutes or so, we will announce the winner of the first half teaser at Clyde SSB. Been a fairly lively half in the sense that we've at least got a goal in Perth and we've had a VAR penalty drama in Paisley, but it was missed, so it remains goalless there. And a fairly straightforward afternoon for Falkirk against Morton in our featured championship game. There are other championship games that may interest you. We thought it could get ugly for Airdrie. They went 2-0 down at home to Hamilton Accies after 6 minutes. It's still 2-0. Dunfermline 0, Partick 0, and Livy 0, Queen's Park 0 as well.
Not much action in those games, but again, I keep saying this, it's always closely contested, those games. You look at Livy games this season, not a lot of goals in them. I know they get beat by 3 midweek. Same with Partick, so it's not a lot of, you know, real easy watching football in the division apart from Falkirk, you'd have to say.
It is easily the favourite part for me of a Saturday where we just randomly stumble on nonsense. Jack has messaged in to say he went to St Thomas Aquinas in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the school took us to Annie's Land Odeon Cinema to see The Plank starring Tommy Cooper, etc. Greetings from sunny Spain, Jim, he says.
The Plank?
Tommy Cooper.
I don't know.
I wasn't at school in the 70s. I left school in the 60s. Yeah. So
you were 10 years into your papers.
As I say, when I was there, it was Doris Day.
Contained to
Calamity
the cinema.
Jane.
That's a different one. I remember those. Then the old TV being wheeled in though at school. I got Romeo and Juliet one time in English. Remember the one where was it Leonardo DiCaprio? Yeah. I couldn't understand.
That makes sense.
But I couldn't understand what was going on.
That makes sense though. Shakespeare.
That was. Aye, it wasn't my favourite topic.
See the connection. Producer Chris is excited in my ear, says that he was the same. He watched the same film as you.
Romeo and Juliet, did you?
Went to similar schools.
I didn't take much for it.
No,
died in the end.
He now says he watched it in history, so that's a bit of a.
It for us.
That's different.
In
that's
history,
a different story.
It's not a real story, though. So, historical inaccuracies.
It is. And see, if you watch that, do you do a.
Have you never been to Verona? They have the Juliet statue and all that. You remember you went your Italian tour?
Yeah.
Do you ever remember that? Remember he went his Italian tour? And all of a sudden one day I get messages from an unknown number and it's the tour operator who's been told to send me pictures of him on holiday. Just him at various Italian landmarks. Some poor tour operator been asked to send them on.
I like that here.
Italy's a lovely country, isn't it, Hugh?
Oh, my favourite country. I'd rather live there than here.
What was the script with that? It was some sort of rail journey you went, wasn't it, across Italy?
Everywhere by rail. From Venice to Rome to Florence to Milan.
I could sense like the sort of uncertainty in the tone of the message. It was like, "Hi Gordon, this is so and so from Excelsior Travel or whatever. I've got Hugh Keevans as part of my group and he's asked me to send you these pictures."
Yeah. Did you have to stay with the full group throughout?
Yeah, they stayed together.
I don't like that.
Listen, we got on the train in London to go to Paris. That's where the journey began by rail. And the first person in the group, and I said to him, "What do you do?" He said, "I used to be a cameraman on the Morecambe and Wise show." And that was I mean, really interesting folks.
No, that would do my nothing.
And you fell for that?
No.
I know.
This guy was
guys like this.
No.
Hey, Mary, he's fell for us.
I believe him.
Keep it going.
We've got a live one here.
He'll hang about with us. He'll be buying the coffees. Just keep telling them about the Morgan White Show.
Listen, this guy was so into cameras. He showed me a burglary at his own home taking place
when he was on the train.
On his ring doorbell.
The night before he left to join the railway tour of Italy, his home, which was a very big home.
That would be if you were a cameraman. Yeah. On that.
And he filmed his home being burgled.
But probably try to steal all the tapes of Morecambe and Wise Christmas specials.
By the way, people are getting right into this now. Seriously, people are right into this. Ian says he watched Mice and Men in English at Lourdes Secondary School. I can't believe it. Pozog says Herbie Goes Bananas.
Oh, I loved Herbie.
Why would you watch that?
I loved Herbie.
Is that the car?
The car. Oh, I loved Herbie. I grew up with Herbie.
What is he watching that in? Tech or something like that.
This would be brutal because is this not quite long? James says in history they watched Saving Private Ryan for 20 minutes every other day for weeks. Well, it would take ages if you were breaking that up into
that's a belt
20
one,
minute chunks. That's a good one, to be fair.
That's a great one, aye.
Well, I like that for sure, definitely. Okay, luckily it's almost half time. Gives you more time to think about what films you watched.
Well, we do the thing
when you were at school.
We do the number.
Let's do the thing. Go on, Hugh.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since 2022, six players have scored for Celtic or Rangers in a Scottish League Cup semi-final. They are James Tavernier, Scott Wright, Daizen Maeda, Georgios Giakoumakis, Ryan Jack and Kemar Roof.
Ooh, some sneaky ones in there. You look confused, Mark.
But I got none. I was struggling. But I had Forest written down, that was it, and then struggling. I tried to think Giakoumakis.
Had you?
So Wright and Tavernier was last year, was it? Against Hearts. That's right. Yeah,
Giakoumakis, that
against Kilmarnock.
Anyway, third place, Charlie Blair. Well done, Charlie. Second was Stephen Bissett. Again, well done, Stephen. But the winner, the gold medalist of your first half teaser, is Matondo. Well done. We'll have a good Who Am I. I know I say that every week, but I think we're trying to just tweak it, make them even harder this week. Like JB, who says in college they watch Straight Outta Compton to teach us about social equality. Would recommend it for the Dazzler, he says.
You like a bit of that?
Up your street? No. You look confused.
I'm confused. I don't know what that is.
Just leave it there because their halftime whistles are about to go. Alloa 3, Annan 0, good time to score and all that. It looks like that one is out of sight. Luke Donnelly scoring on the brink of halftime. And speaking of, no surprise, our three featured games, the one without VAR has finished first. Championship, Falkirk Morton, David Friel.
Yeah, half time, Gordon, Falkirk 2, Morton 0. Leaders Falkirk in total control at the break, and I think this one is going the way everyone really expected. Morton, to be fair, actually the first effort and goal, Michael Garrity broke through, Nicky Hogarth made a good save, but since then it's pretty much been Falkirk dominance. I think John McGlynn will feel they should have even more goals to show for their play, much of which has been outstanding. Keelan Adams playing right back, he's only 22, came from Cumbernauld Colts in the summer, he's a very, very good player, and he got the opener for the Bairns in 16 minutes. Classy right back, he won a free kick on the wing with some good play, he was then in the right place to head in Calvin Miller's delivery. I think the Morton defence were posted missing Doogie Emily, will be asking questions about that. Miller on the right and Ethan Ross on the left have been really good for Falkirk. They try and get the ball to him as much as they can, they've both had chances blocked, they've both created chances. Calvin Miller put a free kick over the bar. Morton keeper Lewis Budanokis also had to make a really good double save from Ross. Michael Garrity broke again, he tested Hogarth again, but Falkirk continued to push for a second goal, and there was no surprise when it arrived in 37 minutes. Some really nice passing created space for Miller on the right. He jinked inside and picked out Ross. He's not the tallest, but his glancing header found the bottom corner. Could be a long second half for Morton. Falkirk in total control. Half time, Falkirk 2, Morton 0.
Yes, the league leader is in control, as you would expect. They just keep impressing. Mark Wilson.
Yep. And you know what? There's method behind it, though. You know, the way that they play. We keep going on about this and what is good football to watch, because we all see it. What's the trap? You know, they've got people who will make forward runs, will play forward, they'll interchange. They've often got an end product. And again, today they've got an end product. So a lot of work goes into that. And well done to the players, and well done to John McGinn, because he didn't rip up the full squad, did he, last year? Kind of kept the crux of it together and then just added one or two, I think. So they look odds on to win that league at the moment, and you can't see anybody really troubling them at this stage.
Yeah, they're certainly flying. They're playing with confidence. They're winning games. They're sitting top of the league. They're scoring the most goals in the league, which helps. They're not conceding a lot. They've only conceded 8 goals. And it looks like another comfortable 3 points in the bag this afternoon for them.
They've also got a big fan base. We've got a good ground. They will bring something to the league, with the greatest respect, more than Livy will bring to it, more than United will bring to it. But the main reason why they deserve to be there is they play the best football.
Do you know what? Their Astro pitch is actually one of the better ones. Yeah.
It's not often I give you team news from games on the continent, but what did we say about the Scotland squad on Monday?
Gilmore.
Lewis Ferguson subbed back on for Bologna. Good. Back. I don't even know if he played a part, but they scored just after he came on, so we'll take it as a good sign. What about Perth then? That's finished, or the first half's finished, Roger Hannah.
It has indeed. Gordon St Johnson nil, Hearts 1 at the break, and Neil Critchley's under fire jambos. He started the day bottom of the Premiership table, have taken a deserved lead into the break here at McDermott Park. They could have been ahead, probably should have been ahead in 16 minutes. Poor clearance by the Saints goalkeeper Ross Sinclair. It was seized upon by Benny Beningame. A couple of quick passes fed to Lauren Shanklin 12 yards out, and the Scotland striker fired wide when he really should have hit the target. At the other end, St Johnson's best chance of the half, a free kick 20 yards out. The new club captain Nicky Clark fizzed it over the ball, and a good save by Craig Gordon pushing it round the post. There was more woe to befall Clark in 23 minutes. A corner on the left hand side for Hearts. An initial corner from Blair Spittle had come out to Alan Forrest on the edge of the box. He hit a fair shot that was deflected wide for another corner in the same place. Spittle swung it into the near post. Clark glanced at it, and it flew past his own goalkeeper Ross Sinclair and just inside the far post. Hearts almost repeated the trick 5 minutes later. Another set piece in the left by Spittle. This time it was Jan Danda making a near post run. A nice little flick, and it just flew across the face of goal with no takers and beyond the far post. Hearts well on top at this stage, just couldn't quite test Sinclair as much as they'd like, and they almost lost an equaliser just before the break. A smart turn by Adama Sidime in the inside right channel, but he lashed a shot carelessly wide of Gordon's near post. He had far more time than he appreciated. Saints will need to do a lot better in front of goal in the second half if they're to get anything for Simo Valakari. At the break, it's St Johnson 0, Hearts 1.
Well, there we go. It's not been full, jam-packed full of incident, but that Nicky Clark own goal has separated the sides there at the break. Only one other 3 o'clock game in the Premiership. You will get your half-time report from St Mirren, Ross County after these.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the 3 o'clock games. Let's get the half time report from Fraser, who's watched St Mirren and Ross County.
St Mirren 0, Ross County 0. A really poor 45 minutes, to be honest. Neither team looked like scoring. Ross County one shot at goal, and that wasn't even on target, and St Mirren couldn't even score when they awarded a penalty. Greg Kilty was a guilty man. The ball's just been battered from back to front, trying to get onto second balls. And we did get the ball on the ground. Too many slack passes, turning possession over. Almost nothing to talk about of any kind of note. 22 minutes, our first attempt at goal. This ball fell to Elvis Bomono in the box. His shot was blocked by Josh Reid tackle. In 28 minutes, James Scott got his head to a Scott Tanzer cross 12 yards out, but no power in it, straight into the arms of Laidlaw. But then St Mirren had that glorious opportunity to take the lead in the 35th minute. John Beaton, the VAR referee, sent Don Robertson to the screen for what was a tug on Marcus Fraser as the big defender jumped for a corner. He was tugged by Eli Campbell. Penalty was given. Greg Kilty stepped up, but it was a poor effort, not a clean strike, straight down the middle and saved by Ross Laidlaw's legs as he dived to his right. The only Ross County effort in 40 minutes, a low James Brown cross swept over the bar by Jordan White from 14 yards. Alessandro then hit the bar just on the break, but the assistant referee had his flag up for quite some time before he got his shot away. I have to say, you can look on the bright side though. The consolation is the second half can only be better. It can't possibly be any worse. Half time in Paisley, St Mirren 0, Ross County 0.
Let's do a quick run through of the half time scores then. Easy in the Premiership: St Johnston 0, Hearts 1, and St Mirren 0, Ross County 0. In the Championship: Airdrie 0, Hamilton Accies 2, Dunfermline 0, Partick Thistle 0, Falkirk 2, Morton 0, and Livingston 0, Queen's Park 0. Into League 1, it's finished. Dumbarton 0, Cove Rangers 3. At the break, Alloa 3, Annan 0, Arbroath 1, Stenhouse Muir 0, Inverness 1, Kelty 1, Queen of the South 1, Montrose 0. In League 2, Clyde 1, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, East Fife 1, Stirling Albion 1, Edinburgh City 1, Forfar Athletic 0, Elgin City 1, Stranraer 0, and Peterhead 1, Spartans 1. The second halves of the 3 o'clock games are coming up, and we will go to Hampden next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.